Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion on the issues at hand. I pray that each day as you face the issues, you turn to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's called the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we live in a society today that truth is simply ignored, truth is simply misunderstood, and or totally with no recognition or knowledge of it. It was George Orwell that made a profound statement about truth. He said, and I quote, "The further a society drifts from truth, the move it is those that move toward it hate those who speak it." Let me read that again. The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So if you have those that have disdain for you and hatred simply because you speak the truth, that is the epitome of what we're talking about, generally speaking, when we find those that reject the truth, especially the truth of the Word of God. When Christians stand in society today and we speak the truth, the world seems to reject and retaliate and hate. When we listen to what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others in the Socialist Democratic Party are saying, we look at them with absolute chagrin, saying, "How could you believe such a thing? How could you say what you're saying?" It's because they have no idea of the centrality of what is called truth, especially when it comes to biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today Iran and biblical prophecy. Iran and biblical prophecy. Let me remind you that we're going to cover a large amount of territory today to tie loose ends together so that we'll understand what's happening on the international scene, prophetically speaking. If you want to jump in at any point in dialogue and discussion, you can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, almost every day, the national and international media are carrying stories about Iran and Germany and China and Russia and Syria, Israel, North Korea, et cetera, et cetera. I don't believe there's been a time in my history, my lifetime, that I've seen any more correlation and culmination of biblical prophetic truth than we're seeing today before our eyes, and that is carried out by the media in relationship to what they're saying and doing. They're not talking about it from a biblical worldview standpoint. I am. And as we face the issues, we do so based on a biblical worldview. What does the Bible say? I believe we need to look at what's happening on the national, international scene, the local, and the national scene. We need to look at it through the prism of what does the Word of God say. And that gives us a better understanding as we face the issues that we're seeing today and understand what God is saying and what God is doing in these days that's before us. Just this week, ladies and gentlemen, the Pentagon approved sending 1,000 more troops, not 1,000 troops, but 1,000 more troops to the Middle East. So why are we building up the troops in the Middle East? What's happening that causes that? Here's an article about that, ladies and gentlemen. It simply says, Pentagon approves sending 1,000 more troops to the Middle East as U.S. releases new photos of tanker attack linked to Iran. The article says the Central Command released new images Monday showing the aftermath of nine attacks against two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman last week, including some images purporting to show Iranian forces removing an unexploded device from the hull of one of the vessels. Hours later, Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan said he had approved a request from CENTCOM to send approximately 1,000 additional troops to the Middle East to address air, naval, and ground-based threats in the region. The article further says, and it's about a five-page article, I'll just give you another brief blurb. The recent Iranian attacks validate the reliable, credible intelligence we have received to hostile behavior by Iranian forces and their proxy groups that threaten the United States personnel and interests across the region, Shanahan said. The United States does not seek conflict with Iran. The action today is being taken to ensure the safety and welfare of our military personnel working throughout the region and to protect our national interest. Further, the article says, the military says that some of the 11 new images taken from the Navy helicopter shows members of the Islamic Revolution Guard Navy removing a mine from the side of the Japanese-owned ship oil tanker. Other photos show a large hole on the side of the ship above the waterline that officials say appears to have been caused by another mine. Pompeo said the new developments of the U.S. troops to the Middle East is an option that we have to respond to the attacks this week. The article concludes by saying earlier Monday, Iran announced that it would break a limit on uranium stockpiles established by the 2015 nuclear agreement with the U.S. and five other world powers that was intended to restrict Tehran's nuclear program in exchange for easing of international sanctions. Ladies and gentlemen, the summary of that to introduce what we're going to talk about today is simply this. Iran, and we'll talk about it further in the broadcast, Iran is simply a puppet state under the domicile, control, and leadership of Russia. We'll talk about that connectivity and what's happening. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is dangerous when we think that somehow, some way, the Cold War has ended. It's also dangerous when we look at what's happening on a global basis and ignore the truth of the Word of God and what God has already told us in prophetic text as to what God is going to be doing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just the latest move by Iran. Iran is the single largest source of international terrorist funding and jihadist attacks around the globe. You heard me right. Iran is the largest funder of, the promulgator of, and the training for the Islamic jihadist attacks on a global basis. And today, ladies and gentlemen, Russia is one of the major supporters of Iran. Russia provides the material, the support, as well as the political clout for Iran to continue to operate to do what they're doing. It is Russia that controls Syria, Iran, and much of the Middle East today, and they're just simply puppet states being led by the Russian army, the Russian military. Russia is armed, angry, aggressive, and anxious to attack on a global basis. Don't anyone tell you that the Cold War is over. Don't anyone let you believe that somehow, some way, Russia is sleeping and is not going to be harmful for America and for Israel and for the Middle East and thus far for the globe as far as the Bible tells us. It's Russia that controls those states. I call them puppet states. Syria is a puppet state for Russia. Cuba, for example, is a puppet state for China. Syria is a puppet state for Russia. And we look at much of the Middle East today, and nuclear weapons, the armed weapons, the weapons of warfare, all of the intense missile armament that's taking place is in most cases provided for by Iran via Russia and the Russian big bear that's ready to rise up and strike once again. It's Russia that controls these puppet state nations that's in the Middle East, ladies and gentlemen. Russia is heavily involved in and its support for the implosion that's taking place today in Venezuela. China is aggressive, making alliances with Russia and Germany and much of the Middle East and Cuba. Let me just read you some blurbs from several articles to set the stage for what we want to look at and talk about today in the brief time that we have to do so. And by the way, lest I forget to mention it, and I will hopefully balance in the balance of the broadcast, I'm looking at in my hands here a book entitled The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. It's a verse-by-verse study of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Some people call Ezekiel 38 and 39 the Battle of Armageddon. It is not. I can prove that to you in the text of Ezekiel 38 and 39. It is the coming global Islamic invasion led by Russia and five puppet state nations that Russia leads. And this book, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, is what will take place during the last days. And we're in those last days. We will see, ladies and gentlemen, the church ultimately raptured out. But we're going to see the promulgation of this, which I believe is the fulfillment of what God says in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We will not see the Battle of Armageddon. The church will have already been raptured out. But during the global invasion, some call it the war with Russia. It is a war with Russia, but it's a global invasion of the Islamic nations, five of them in particular, that we'll talk about in a moment, that's coming against Israel in the attempt to annihilate the little postage stamp, the apple of God's eye, called the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Russia is the real winner in any U.S.-Iranian conflict. The article says, the beating of the war drums between the United States and Iran is music to the Kremlin's ears. Russia's already benefiting from the resumption of strategic U.S. sanctions against the sale of Iranian oil. Not only are Russian companies poised to gain additional market share as customers such as Japan, India, Korea, and Italy reduce their purchases from Iran, Russia also emerges as the more reliable, dependable provider of energy on a global market. The article further says, meanwhile, the collapse in the Iranian oil exports kills two birds with one stone. It allows Moscow to continue in partnership with Saudi Arabia to manage global oil markets, but allows the Russian producers who've been laboring under a production freeze personally ordered by President Vladimir Putin to increase sales without torpedoing the understanding with other nations, especially in Iraq and Iran. Turmoil in the Persian Gulf also increases the attractiveness of Russia's northern sea routes as replacement energy trade corridors. Last month, the Belt and Road Summit in China, Putin showcased the importance of the Arctic Sea lanes to global growth and prosperity, describing it as a global and competitive route that connects northeastern, eastern, and southeastern Asia with Europe. His invitation to other countries to pursue further investment and development in the region that he believes will only grow in significance, for the Russian economy starts to look more attractive to all of the Middle East on the verge of war. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Russia standing armed, angry, aggressive, and ready to take over all of the Middle East. And they'll do so ultimately based on Ezekiel 38 and 39 to come against the little nation of Israel to crush the apple of God's eye and ultimately will draw in all of the globe in that coming global Islamic invasion. Ladies and gentlemen, this book, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, ought to be in the hands of every Christian, every conservative. It retails for $10.99. I want to tell you today on this broadcast, I don't normally do this, but I believe that it is that important. Any contribution that you make toward the enhancement of the further underwriting of this broadcast, we'll send you one of these books and we'll pay the postage on it for you. You can call us at 262-7777, leave your information and contact information, charge card number, or what you're going to do and what you want to donate toward this broadcast, and we will send you one of these books, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. It is a verse-by-verse study of Ezekiel 38 and 39. There's nothing like it, not one thing in print like it in the marketplace today. And I pray that you will do so to support this ministry, this broadcast, and at the same time, be edified, encouraged, and enlightened on what God is doing and what God says in Ezekiel 38 and 39 about the coming global Islamic invasion. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go have your question or comment, please.
I was going to ask how you see the significance of this and basically a timetable. If you had to guess, do we see further escalation until we have that battle of Gog and Magog, and in the battle of Gog and Magog, what kind of time lapse before the tribulation begins in earnest? Do we see a gap of time there in your eschatological view?
One of the things I can answer very succinctly, the war with Russia or the coming global Islamic invasion, and ladies and gentlemen, you can open your Bibles to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and on a broadcast this short and narrow, it's not time for us to exegete it and do an expository message on it, but simply put, Ezekiel 38 and 39 includes five Islamic nations, five nations that are Islamic in control, led by Russia, which right now the Russian army is over 50% Islamically controlled, and it would be Iran and Turkey and Germany and Libya and Syria. And to answer the question succinctly, these five nations are now in lockstep with Russia, being dominated by Russia, basically what I call puppet states, as the Russian leadership dominates them. Germany cannot survive today without Russian oil. Russia is absolutely dominating Germany and much of Europe today because of the oil production they're making available to them. But, ladies and gentlemen, the question was asked in an eschatological timetable, in chronology, we could see, we're watching now the continuing. In fact, in Matthew 24, the scripture says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. That simply means there'll be rumblings of wars and rumors, that is, rumblings and more rumblings of wars. And it will escalate, ladies and gentlemen, and this war with Russia, this war of Islamic global invasion coming against Israel and the globe, will be led by Russia. And we're seeing the escalation of that leading to the absolute conflagration that will take place. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that is not the Battle of Armageddon, but it leads into the Battle of Armageddon, which will be the ultimate final battle of the world, the global, on the global stage. But, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that will take place is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have said yes to Christ as Savior and as Lord, will be raptured out, will not go through the days of the tribulation, which will end in the Battle of Armageddon. But I believe, based on my Bible, that we're going to see, as it stands, the sheer curtains across the big, gigantic stage of the world, where the players are being set, the stage is being set, the people and the players are being put in place, and we're watching that today, ladies and gentlemen, and it's led by Russia, and it's Iran and Turkey and Germany and Libya and Syria. I believe that we're going to be seeing some horrific times ahead. And for the Christian, we need to, Luke 21:28 says, lift up your head, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Did that answer your question, basically?
Yeah, that touches a lot of the points. I think it is interesting to note the difference between what's taking place today for us in America and elsewhere as compared to historic events dealing with Iran and Russia. In 78-79, with the Islamic Revolution there in Iran and the fall of the Shah of Iran, you had a polar shift where literally that their entire culture was stood on its head. You had a deal of openness and an open culture, open society for the greater part until 78-79, and now literally it's a Islamic dominated, of course, with the Ayatollahs running the show for the most part. But in 79, we had our oil crisis in America. You know, we were reliant upon so much Middle East oil. In 88, when Reagan literally ordered, hey, sink them, and we sunk, I think, half a dozen of the Iranian ships in response to similar attacks. And of course, we saw oil spike. Well, you know, when Prime Minister Abe from Japan was in Iran and these two ships were hit, were mined and, you know, up in flames, we watched the markets and they didn't respond the same way. You know, this time we had about a 4 or 5% rise in the price of crude oil, and then it quickly retreated with only about a 2 or 2.5% rise. And I say that because, you know, the impact was muted, the effect was muted in America. Other parts of the world do not have the same access to oil that we do today. Again, I think we talked about this the other day. Thanks to Trump and his taking the federal foot off the neck of so much of the oil and gas industry. However, an economic collapse will come. I mean, Iran is in economic turmoil right now. Libya, you know, has been. Russia is in economic turmoil. Venezuela, a lot of people point to the drop of the price of oil for their economic turmoil. I mean, oil was over $100 a barrel. They thought they were swimming in money. Everybody, all the socialists in America were bragging on Venezuela and their socialist system, but it was all wrapped around the price of oil. When the price of oil got cut in half, all of their hopes and dreams went out the window. I say that to say this. The in a instance of economic collapse, it seems like people will grasp at anything. I believe in an economic collapse worldwide, people will say okay to an Antichrist-ruled system. They said okay to the Führer. They said okay to Adolf Hitler when their economy completely collapsed. They literally signed the enabling legislation and gave him carte blanche, complete power, do whatever you think it takes to fix this thing. And that's kind of what I'm seeing or viewing the future from an eschatological standpoint, a turnover, that turning point from the Gog and Magog war to the tribulation period. I think that's where we see perhaps a worldwide economic collapse. Do you view it similarly?
Absolutely. In fact, as you study the scripture, find in Revelation chapter 18, you'll find where there will be ultimately a global international monetary collapse. But I believe that what we're seeing today is that which portends and points to that ultimate day when that shall take place. In fact, here's an article that says China vows to develop ties with Iran after attack on tankers. President Xi Friday met with Iranian president at a summit and reaffirmed Beijing's willingness to develop ties with the country, even as the U.S. placed the blame squarely on Tehran for the attack of two oil tankers in the Straits of Hormuz. The Chinese leader promised to develop the relationship no matter how the situation changes in the future, end quote. We're watching the alignment of the nations around the globe that ultimately will have a common goal, and it's that economic goal, and the goal, G-O-L-D, that they focus on is called OIL, which is oil, and as a result of that, they're making the alliances on a global basis to be able to control those nations that produce the oil and will have that for their benefit. This is what brings China. This is what brings Russia to the forefront. And as you study the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, you find in Revelation chapter 9, China is the one that is on the scene with a 200 million man army. When you look at Daniel chapter 11, verses about verse 31 through about 46, the latter portion of that about verse 36 through about 41, you find rumors out of the east, and it's talking about China coming on the scene even during the days of the tribulation. And that's the only thing that gets the attention during the days of the tribulation of the Antichrist is when the Chinese 200 million man army comes against the Antichrist and his armies to do battle. And ultimately, the Antichrist, as you look at verses 39, 40, and 41 of Daniel chapter 11, and you tie that with Revelation chapter 9, and you find it's then that the Antichrist becomes trodden upon in the final days of the tribulation. And ultimately, according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21, that is when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and will annihilate, destroy those that have come against the nation of Israel, those that have said no to Christ, and those that are God haters in society. They'll be wiped out. Greg, I'm delighted that you've joined us by telephone for this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about the Iranians, the Iran, nation of Iran, and biblical prophecy. And we have the privilege of having one of our sons, Greg, that's on the telephone with us today, talking about this issue. Greg, what do you see in relationship to the global affairs and how the world seems to look at this versus what the Bible says about what we ought to do and what ought to get our attention?
Well, there are elements of this that get me excited because whenever you see the,
yeah,
the saber rattling and you see Iran right in the middle of it and Russia right in the middle, of course, Russia's been an enabling power for Iran for decades now. I get a little excited, and that verse comes to mind that you just quoted, you know, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. But I also, so much of this makes me think, why in the world do so many pastors in America, why are they so blind, deaf, or mute when it comes to these issues, and they don't want to discuss them, they don't want to talk about them?
The primary thing is they bought the satanic, demonic lie that we need to just be silent and need to be humble, and that humility has nothing to do with being a floor mat and just a rug. Humility means Jesus was humble, but he walked into the temple with a bullwhip and clean house. as Christians, and especially as Christian pastors, we need to stand up, speak up, and warn the people. When you look at Isaiah chapter 58 and 59, there needs to be the watchman on the wall, and the watchman on the wall is responsible for the people to warn them when danger is coming, warn them when the enemy is at hand. And we don't see, we see very little, I shouldn't say we don't see, we see very little of the warning from the watchman on the wall in the pulpits today. And I say it's because of, just like with David Platt, where when he did the honorable thing, the right thing, and allowed President Trump to come into his church, put him on the platform and prayed over him and prayed for him. And then as some of the loose, lax, lost liberals in his church got upset, he then did a backpedaling and what was tantamount to an apology for doing so. Christian pastors ought not to apologize for standing on truth, speaking the truth, and standing on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Greg, let me just take a moment and let our people hear this little statistical data about Russia. Most are not aware of Russia and how it stands and what Russia has. Let me just read you this statistical data, and it's found in my book, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion. 1/6 of the world's land mass, 8.6 million square miles. We're talking about Russia. 1/6 of the world's mass, it has 8.6 million square miles. Over two continents, 11 time zones, over 289 million people, about 85 ethnic groups, many languages, variety of customs and religious, 12 different ethnic groups account for 89% of the population. Russia has about 4,500-mile border with China. China has over 1 billion people, and Russian territory is larger than China, Europe, and the United States combined. That's the global power of the bear that's called Russia. And yet there's some today that think that somehow, some way, the Cold War is ended and we can just be silent and not say anything. But those five nations, Greg, let me just review them very briefly from the Ezekiel 38 and 39 text. It says Persia, that's modern Iran. Libya, that's known as Libya today. Gomer, which is modern Germany, as you study the ethnicity in the background of that term. You find then, not only do we find there Persia and Ethiopia, that's modern Sudan, Libya, and Gomer, which is modern Turkey, modern Germany, but also Timogar. Timogar is modern Turkey and parts of Syria. Both of these countries are Islamic and both oppose and hate Israel and the United States of America. So, Greg, the stage is set. Than being set every day. As we watch these events taking place, and listen to me, these events in Iran, they're not going to, they might simmer down, they may not. I believe they're going to escalate to the point where we will, in fact, be drawn into it as a nation, as the United States of America, coming into the midst of the fray. Because I believe we're watching, and as you go back and statistically look at Syria, by the way, Syria has some of their seaports that are occupied by Russian warships. We have Syria today that's armed and aggressive, and the armament is coming from Russia. We see Iran that's armed and aggressive and ready, and with their nuclear potentiality and possibility even now as a result of Russia. The world is on a powder keg waiting for that day. And by the way, when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, Greg, it's exciting to me because it's very, very clear God speaking. And verse 4 says, I will turn them back. Verse 4 says, I will bring thee forth. Verse 16, we find it says, and thou shalt come against my people of Israel. As the cloud covers the land, it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against the land that the heathen may know. It is God that's doing this, Greg. That's what excites me. It's God in his mighty sovereign hand that's bringing this about for his ultimate glory as he crushes the nations that will come against the little nation of Israel. Greg, we've got about a minute to wrap up. Take this minute and say some things that I believe would be important and beneficial for our listeners to understand today about this subject and the import of it and what we ought to do as Christians, looking at it prophetically and politically and socially and economically. What should we do? How should we respond to a message of this type?
Well, have that voice continue to resonate in your mind. Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Also realize we as human beings, we play a part in God's sovereign hand in the universe. Even looking back, you look at Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in the last, the last administration. Barack Obama had Valerie Jarrett, an Iranian chief advisor. Hillary Clinton had Uba Abedin, an Iranian advisor. in her administration in the Department of State. During the Obama years, we handed over around $150 billion back to Iran. That was he used his executive authority to settle a lawsuit and send pallets and pallets of cash to the mullahs over in Iran. Literally today, the actions that you see them taking, their economy is in turmoil, but the stacks, the pallets of cash that were sent to them have allowed them to engage in terrorism yet again. They literally were one of only three states that were considered nation-state sponsors of terrorism, internationally recognized as nation-state sponsors of terrorism. However, the last administration did everything it could to kind of roll out the red carpet for these folks and to normalize relations with these folks. You're not going to normalize relations with folks that have an Islamic view of the world, a view that the world needs to be bathed in blood before the 13th Imam, whatever. How do they reference the
hidden Imam?
Their Antichrist, as we see him in the scripture,
right.
But they see him as their salvation. What do they? How do they refer to him?
They call him the hidden Imam, the coming Imam, the 13th, the last Imam. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.